Here we go.
Okay. This is for Peter. I think what you're doing is awesome. It's super exciting. I'm an ultralight guy. That's all I do, go up and bore little holes in the sky for fun. That's good enough for me. I hope that you really continue with what you're doing because I think electricity is great. If I don't have to buy fuel, that's fantastic. But I hope that you, my fear is that you will maybe get a little bit with this and then go, well, I want to go build a rocket. And, I think if you stick with this type of thing, you have a great future.
So. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, the funny thing is we were spitballing ideas for the next aircraft, but electric battery power is still not quite there yet. But, you know, I built a biplane. This is like the worst possible thing you can do for an electric aircraft. If you look at most electric aircraft out here, they're mostly motor gliders and things that take advantage of, you know, the battery life. Because my thing is like a pitiful 15 minutes around the pattern, and that's theoretical calculated. When we land the battery packs, we charge them back up and calculate the milliamps that go back into the battery pack, and that determines how long I can fly. So the longest I've been is 8 minutes, and I come down because I'm freaking out about the motor's going to quit. But so the next one, I may put like model airplane turbines on the side of my biplane, maybe a new biplane, and maybe put the electric on there too, so I have a hybrid. So I'll keep experimenting with some stuff like that.
I like it. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, I had a question for Elliot, and I just wondered how he was influenced with his experience at Scaled.
Scaled is a, still is, and especially when I was there, is a magical place. I was there for 10 years, was involved in probably a dozen different programs, got to meet all of my idols. You know, the situation where you take off for an 8-hour flight in Proteus with Mike Melville, and you got to come up with enough questions to fill 8 hours with Mike Melville is something I couldn't have bought, right? Absolutely phenomenal. And I think that that's where it puts me, you know, for instance, my next job was working chief test pilot on the M10 at Mooney. So very much more on the other side of the scale. So I think, you know, Matt mentioned it in, it's interesting to be in the in between. Because everything that Dick said about experimentation and being out on the edge is totally true. And I think we've seen that with some of the stuff that Scaled's gone through. But just like Dick said, I mean, there's also things that are built on that that allow us to have the stable stuff that's here. So it was an amazing opportunity, and I wouldn't trade anything for it.
So. I asked Elliot one time on my radio show, I said, what's it like when you walk into the break room at Burt Rutan's standing there, and he's like, we're all out of coffee creamer. Like, does that, I mean, that kind of stuff happens. He's a real guy.
We find the coffee creamer.
Yeah, you find the coffee creamer, right. I mean, but that's such a cool place to work, and I think you just, you were there at such an exciting time, too, to be there. I know we have another question back here. I got a guy holding his hand up right there.
Oh, thanks. I was wondering, where does members of the panel, where do you look for inspiration when you have a tough problem?
Well, Sam would answer, but clearly he can't. But Dick, what about you? I mean, where do you look... Where do you go for inspiration?
I don't know. Sleep on it, maybe. But it kind of depends upon the circumstance, I guess. A lot of what we've done over the years has been kind of evolved from one project or one design to another. And some of that is a response to market or perceived market. Anyway, usually there's not an absolute, you know, we don't have 500 people saying, here's my deposit on XYZ or whatever. We have to make some projections based on that, on the input we've had. Fortunately, everything that, you know, that we've tried has been marketable, so knock on wood. But a lot of thought around the clock, insomnia, you name it, to try and work out all of these little details that nobody would find exciting until they become part of a package.
And Peter, I just want to see you throw your hands up and go, let's have fun! But that is so you, I mean, right there. Where does the fun guy go for inspiration?
Funny thing about that is, like, I just look and see, like, what hasn't someone really done yet? Like, weird electric biplanes, put that together. But, like, for inspiration, as far as, like, I had a, like, basically I've never designed an airplane. I've just put together models, and I've only made them larger and larger to a certain point. I've never had to put myself in it, which is another terrifying thing I had to think about. But so I just basically went on the internet, which is like the greatest thing of technology you could find to find anything, probably some horrible stuff too. But you go on there and I just look at any airplane design I want. Like I can look into Pete and Pol, I can look at Minimax, I can see what they've done. So I just looked at seeing what they did, and then I just kind of implemented it in my airplane. Like the bottom spars in this airplane out there is the same thickness as a Pete and Pol, and I know that thing is a gross weight of about 700 pounds or something like that. I don't know the actual number, but it's way heavier than my aircraft. So I know I should be able to fly on that. So I just do a lot of research on the internet and take inspiration from other aircraft and what I've known to work, and then just make my own little tweaks to it. Nothing too crazy, and just getting it.
There you go.
So awesome.
I might mention that I've got nearly 2,000 hours in the electric airplane.
Wow.
But it is a sailplane. Mm-hmm. It's a self-launch. So the motor doesn't run much of the time. How many people have heard of a Lang Aviation Antares? First production electric airplane in the world, and nobody's heard of it. So who gets the publicity? That airplane could have flown the English Channel many years before Airbus did, but they didn't need the publicity.
And they didn't have YouTube around either, but
huh?
They didn't have YouTube.
They
either,
had YouTube.
But, yeah.
But it's kind of like what makes the news and what doesn't.
Sure.
Make the news.
No, I get it.
And I'm not making this comment relative to this at all. That's a different
mission. We don't want you to fly the English Channel, Peter.
Hey, I'm looking for sponsors for the next aircraft
project. What
project.
You hear about and what you don't hear about.
That's right. Elliot, where do you garner your inspiration?
So I was trying to remember how long ago it was. Was it 5 years ago? I flew to Illinois from Mojave specifically to hang out with these two guys because I'd been watching their videos on the web, and they got me so freaking pumped. I mean, people have followed their channel, right? We've seen the music videos with the tanks and the fireworks and the vertical takeoff C-130s and the rock music playing in the background. Round of applause for that. So I think, I think Peter's a great example of what gets me inspired. You mentioned the internet, but really I'm just looking for your stuff. Do you have any new channels or videos?
That's it so far.
I need to get pumped.
I could just see EAA like 50 years from now. The Red Barn's going to be selling foam board, and don't worry, you can get home now. We have everything you need. What? I think we have time for one more question. We all got to go to our real campfire.
Okay, yes. Center.
Where is it at tonight, Steve? Are we around here somewhere?
Yes.
There it
now
is.
We're
in the back
here.
Back
center
there.
Back.
So my question is for Peter. First of all, my dad and I both watched your video of the Sky Pupper, and that was kind of the inspiration for us to come here to this and see you talk. So we're glad you survived the crash and the fireworks videos. My question is, when can I go to flighttest.com and buy a Sky Pupper kit?
I don't know. You have to talk to Josh about that. There's probably a mountain of paperwork you have to sign. But other than that, we can probably get you a kit.
There you go. All right. We have one more. Yeah, go ahead.
Surprisingly about this, like when I was doing some of my initial, can I do this or not? Like I built the giant cargo plane. That thing has a wingspan of about 16 feet. It flew really different from the small model. Mainly, you didn't really have to roll much in the ailerons because it's so lightly loaded. You'd mostly just step on the rudder and kind of fly around like an old World War I plane because it's so lightly loaded. That this thing was like nothing like the Cessna, because I got my flight training in a Cessna 172, and that thing is kind of like, you fly around, you do certain things, you're back on the ground. This thing is like, I was like flying like a wet paper bag almost, because the ailerons are so sloppy because the wind is so, there's not a lot of airflow over it, so you kind of move things a lot more than I would in the Cessna. I was like a little surprised about that. Other than that, it flew like the model, so I just said, hey, I just can fly this like a model, and flew it around.
Well, I think it's well said, and I'm not laughing at you, I'm laughing with you, because your joy, it just comes through. And look at how excited Sam has been all night. I mean, that is the perfect friend for you right there.
Trust me, he does a lot more than it looks like. He does a lot of more behind the camera, behind the scenes.
I just think it's great, and your dad is such a joy backstage, mm-hmm. and your mom must be a saint.
she doesn't come out to test flights.
Yeah, no telling how many kitchen scissors you've got. Does she still tell you, like, be careful?
A little bit.
Don't run in the house.
Don't fly too high with the airplane.
That's hot coffee.
Yeah.
Be careful, Peter. Don't spill it or whatever. I mean, that's great. And here you are doing this. Well, what a night. Listen, Dick, as we're closing out, tell folks where they can find you here. You're a director at EAA, and you're such a pleasure to speak with. Where can your fans out here tonight find you around the convention the next few days?
Well, I've been spending a lot of time over in the building where we're doing the one-week wonder, putting an RV-12 together. Obviously, we've built airplanes for a long time, but not under those conditions or constraints. One of the things I didn't really anticipate was the noise environment, not just the jets, but the barker shouting into his mic all day. And
that wasn't me, but yeah.
No. No, you're very quiet by comparison. But anyway, that's where our Vans aircraft display is over in the north exhibit area. And usually I'm there most of the year. I've been kind of obsessed with helping with that airplane, and we got 1 2/3 days left to finish it. So it's definitely a challenge. It's a new undertaking. The object, as EIA is widely publicized, is not to prove that under certain circumstances you can build a real airplane in a week, but that you can build this airplane, and whether it be the Zenith they built 4 years ago or now the RB-12. And hopefully many of the folks here will take a look at that. And if you have not become involved in building, and may not be as exciting as that, but a very practical real world airplane that you can enjoy building and enjoy flying.
Well said. And Elliot, where can they find you? I know you're going to be around, but you're mainly going to be around on Instagram, too, in the next few days.
So my son is waiting for me back in Michigan, so we're going to get in the car right after this and drive back to Michigan. But please jump on Instagram, say hello. If you're out in California, it'd be fun to go flying or something. We got a couple airplanes there in Mojave we can go rip around. So swing by. Let's hang out.
And Peter, you're all over the web. You and Sam are, I know you're looking for sponsors. You're looking for folks to come and help with your next
crazy project. I don't know. Yeah. I kind of made it to the support of my friends and family. Big thanks to my dad. He's sitting over there. And clap for Dewey. He's gutsy for letting me fly this thing at his property.
I know. Dewey the Barnstormer that's out there from the Barnstorming Carnival. Mm-hmm. He's a four-flusher. Be careful. So anybody that watched Waldo Pepper will get that in about 10 minutes. So that's great. Well, listen, thanks for being here tonight, guys. And we really, really seriously appreciate you being here. How about a round of applause for our panelists, Peter, Sam, Elliot, and Dick Van Grunsven from RV. Now listen, tomorrow night, I don't know if you know this or not, tomorrow night, former Vice Chief, the former Chief of Staff of the United States Air Force is going to be here. General Fogelman's going to be here. We're going to be talking tankers. We have a crew that we have reunited for the first time since the 80s when they flew a mission that even Elliot would have kind of scoffed at, I think. They dove a tanker down to rescue an F-4 Phantom, and they had two brute force failures on the boom, and they literally drug the F-4 back to safety. And these guys, I don't think they've even seen each other since this mission, and they're going to be here tomorrow night. And then we're going to transition. We have the head of the Air Force Reserve who's going to be here to celebrate a massive anniversary for the Air Force Reserve. So tomorrow is the night of the tanker. And believe me, there is a whole lot that goes into that. So if you thought tonight was great, come back tomorrow night and join us back here at Theater in the Woods. But again, for our panel, we really, really appreciate you being here. We hope to see you around a campfire. Have a great night and a safe walk home, everyone. Thank you.